Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love. Today I am most happy to welcome Heather Ash Amara, author of Warrior Goddess Training, an approach drawing on the wisdom from Buddhism, the Taltic tradition, and ancient earth-based goddess spirituality to encourage you to remember your inner wisdom and your potential to become all you were meant to be. Hello, Heather Ash.
Hi, Cheryl. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Oh, I'm delighted. I'm delighted. Heather Ash, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, we always, on each show, try to recall the ancient wisdom of past cultures and societies who resonated in the natural processes of living in peace and harmony with their environments and learn to understand life in a multidimensional way. We also explore our modern world of science and technology, or the physical life alongside our spiritual inner soul essence, as we try to more intimately understand in both a comprehensive and inclusive way that unity and harmony can bring about a more cooperative and healthy personal life journey, enriching our communities and also the world. The goal of each show is greater self-awareness, self-actualization, and a more complete view of life in these present times. In today's episode of Healing From Within, we will take a look at the way women of today are juggling a lot as they now make up more than half the workforce and are busier than ever with partners, children, family, and friends, and they're often putting the needs of others ahead of their own personal needs. We will see how being overwhelmed and feeling like we are falling short of perfection has led us to be our own worst critic at times and our own worst enemy at times. We will focus on ways to release unrealistic views and expectations and to find a more gentle, realistic, loving way to value life and our role in the humanization process during these challenging and changing times. Heather Ash, I regularly ask my guests to think back to their earliest remembrances in childhood and to see if their interests and values and life path were already evident at that time, or if certain events guided them to develop the values and interests and goals they now focus on as an adult. So think back for a moment.
Great question. I definitely had an interest as a child in spirit, and I saw it reflected around me. I was raised in Southeast Asia, and one of my earliest memories when I was a little girl is watching people in a park doing Tai Chi and just being mesmerized of knowing there was some deep connection happening there and not being sure what it was. And when I was 7, I decided I wanted to write a book. So I was very clear. Yes, I remember the paper, the pen, sitting down at my desk and starting to write, and I got about a page in and I realized, I don't think I've had enough life experience yet to write a book. So I put the pen down and I went out and played.
That's very, very funny. But you know what you were observing probably? Because I'm an intuitive, and I just sensed when you said that, and I was watching with you as you were watching Tai Chi. You were seeing the connections between people and the flow of energy between worlds. You felt it. You couldn't explain it, nor could I as a child. And I also remember in junior high school thinking I had to write. And I wrote some poetry. And now I've written 2 books. And you're right. We had to put the pieces of our lives together and the puzzle so that we could really express ourselves from a deeper aspect of life, our soul, our energy, not just from our mind or ego. So it took time in developing that. Heather Ash, the foreword of your book is by Don Miguel Ruiz, author of The Four Agreements, and he was a past guest on Healing From Within as well. Just love him. He's a wonderful, wonderful expressive man and gentle soul. And can you tell us something about your interest in his work and perhaps some of the values that you both share?
Yeah, I first met Miguel in the dream world. I had a dream about this human that was going to have a huge impact on my life. And when I met Miguel a year later, I was very clear, yep, this is the human. And studied with him for 6 years very, very intensely. And I've been teaching and traveling with the Ruiz family for the last, 14 years. And the wisdom that Miguel brings forth in his writings, as well as his person, his beingness, was really what compelled me. Because what I saw was a human that was really filled with unconditional love, and then also the wisdom and teachings to help me to clear out everything that was in the way of that love emerging. And so that's a big part of the work that I do now, is sharing those tools along with the tools of European shamanism. Those are my two loves, is Toltec and European shamanism. And they're both traditions that help us to go inside and to shift from mental down to heart, to shift from linear thinking into more cyclical thinking. So we come back into alignment with our authenticity, with our heart, and with our own innate joy.
With our energy and our spirit and our connection to universal laws of energy. Yes, very beautifully said. Now, according to Don Miguel, we are all shamans of creative change, and the main focus of a healer, a shaman, is to recognize their inner potential for love and compassion, and to work to release this inner compassion in order to bring beauty, kindness, and love into all that we create in our thoughts and actions in our physical world. And that pretty much says what a person who creates music or art or a writer is looking to do. They're trying to bridge the worlds, the world of spirit and the world of the physical life, so that we can know ourselves as the beautiful, magnificent energies or souls that we are. And it was a great gift to you, I'm sure, to have spent so much time in that energy and that love, and to now share that with everybody that you meet. So I think that's really wonderful. Now, tell us something more of what shamanism teaches.
Shamanism, as you said, is that bridge between the spiritual and the physical world. And through shamanic techniques, we learn how to watch our lives from the point of view of energy rather than the point of view of our story. So we're really trained to create stories about life, to make up stories that help us understand and comprehend life. But the truth is, life's a mystery. And I've seen tremendous transformation for people when we bring our attention back to, what am I doing energetically? What am I leaking energy? Am I stagnating my energy? Am I stuck? Where am I stuck? And instead of telling ourselves the story over and over again, to notice what the story is doing to us energetically, and then from an energetic point of view, beginning to create the transformation that then changes the story.
Right, to make the shifts in energy in our thoughts or emotions that might be derailing us or taking us away from quite possibly our destiny or our life path. So shamanism teaches us that everything that exists is alive, has spirit, and there is a web of life that connects all of life and the spirit that lives in all things, and everything on earth is interconnected. And this belief of connectedness starts to take away the illusion of separateness, which is part of the story that you were talking about, which in society's mores and possibly religions and belief systems, we have been led to believe that we are separated from this universal force of energy, when in truth we're not at all. We're all part of it at all times, and evolving through this energy and creating through this universal force field, or living spirit. That's also the title of my book, The Living Spirit, and that's exactly what I mean by it, the force that we're all connected to and involved in and part of, and the oneness and unity of being that does not separate us. That's only a story and an illusion. So let's go on to something else. Tell us how your book is set up and what benefits the reader can derive from following the 10 lessons you share.
One of God's training is divided into 10 different lessons, and they're around specific areas that I found as women are the places we struggle with the most. So the first three lessons are a new foundation, committing to ourself, aligning with life, and purifying our vessel, really learning to put ourselves into the equation of healing. Because often as women, we tend to put our attention to how can I help support others, and we don't put ourselves in that equation at all. So putting ourselves into the equation, learning how to be in alignment with the energies of life.
Good.
And then also starting to see ourselves as a temple, to see ourselves as a sacred vessel, that we may have some cleaning to do, but it doesn't mean that we're broken. It doesn't mean that we're, because we don't perceive ourselves as perfect, that we're never going to be whole. When we begin to view ourselves as a temple and as a sacred vessel that we are, we just see, okay, there's some things that need to be cleaned, some old beliefs and agreements that don't serve me. But we come back into that awareness that we are already whole, we are already connected. And the next six lessons then go through each of the energy centers in our body. So we learn about ancestors and how to ground into the earth in a new way. We learn about sexuality. We learn about opening the heart. We learn about how to speak our truth. So each of the next six lessons goes through really specific areas in our life and helps us to clean each of those areas. And then the last chapter is about an inspiration, how to take it out into the world. So
excellent, excellent. But you know, you provide women in the book an antidote to the flawed idea, I am not enough. You know, I cannot tell you, in viewing women, sometimes I'm not even talking, I'm just observing, and I see how uncomfortable perhaps they are with what they're wearing or their hairstyle or the fact so many women are now so obsessed with body image, weight, what they eat, how much they exercise, calories, and they're losing a connection to important values. It's not about our physical being necessarily, although we do want to be healthy, but the focus should not be on these limiting realities. They should be on a deeper, more open way to view themselves in life. So how can they begin to do this?
It takes the willingness to shift from what I think of as living in the crust to living in our depth. As women, we're modeled over and over again that we should look a certain way, that we should weigh a certain amount, that if we're really going to get what we want in life, we have to look a particular way. And we really internalize the messages that we get from television and from media. It's starting to shift somewhat, but there's still a lot of I'm not enoughness that we carry as women.
Well, you and I want to begin, and many others, to tell people it's not about that. You know, as a kid, I really never really cared what my peer group did. If they were wearing a flare skirt and I wanted to wear a straight skirt, I did. I was fortunate to have that inner sense of myself, and let's just call it a bit of courage. And I didn't have to walk in anyone else's footpath or footsteps, and sometimes I stood alone in my own truth when other people wouldn't see the right way to do something, and I would not follow. And I want to say to women out there, and how they're bringing up their children, boys and girls, it's not just for girls. We need to allow our children to delve into their own inner pool of wisdom, their own soul presence, and we need to respect what we hear from them and value the direction that they want their life to take without expecting everybody to resonate to other people's opinions or values or life expressions of what's important in the physical world. We really want to start to see more conscious thinking and a more mindfulness in how we approach what's really important in life. And I think that's what this talk is about right now. So let's go on to, what is earth-based spirituality, and what are the benefits of working with this age-old tradition?
In traditions all around the world, if we look pre-organized religion, humans connected with the earth. And it was a way of staying aligned with the energies of the earth. So they honored the four elements, they honored the seasons. And so earth-based spirituality is any spirit tradition that honors the earth. And
how we have to respect the earth as we respect ourselves and other people, because it sustains us. It gives us what we need to have a physical life. So we have to respect it, and we have to start paying more attention to protecting it as we
exactly.
wish to protect people. Our resources need to, at this time more than ever, be understood and protected as they were in the past. So we sort of need the ancient methodologies with our modern approach, and we sort of need a merging of both to really bring the world back into an alignment to what's best for everyone, and to live on this planet in harmony and in more balance. Now, you talk about the archetypes in this earth-based spirituality. Who are they, and how do they get us to understand the patriarchal system of the past?
In the goddess traditions, there are three main archetypes, which is maiden, mother, and crone. And the maiden, I believe that all of us as women want to reclaim all three of those archetypes. So the maiden energy is the explorer, she's curious, she's creative, she's adventurous, she's rambunctious. The mother energy isn't necessarily about being a biological mother. It's about, it may be, but it's about what we're nurturing, what we're mothering, what we're giving birth to. And
well,
so that mother
well,
energy
yeah,
is that
well,
creative force.
Right, what we're creating, not only in what we're giving out into the world in thoughts of our beautiful spirit and our talents. Yeah, very
yes,
good.
Yeah. And then the third archetype is the crone. And the crone is the wise woman. She's the one who is now has the biggest perspective. So when we're in mother energy, we're really focused on what we're birthing. The crone energy steps back and looks at the whole community and sees, what does the community need now? What are my gifts that I can offer in a larger way to help support the community moving forward? And the crone archetype has been the one that's been really looked down upon, so been really minimized. So it's really important that we embrace that wise woman biggest picture, and that's the depth that we allow ourselves to tap into our own depth and our own wisdom, that we also claim our mother energy of what we're creating, what we're birthing,
mm-hmm.
what gifts we're sharing, as well as the maiden energy, that courageous fun, explorative energy as well. We want to weave all three of those aspects of ourselves back together.
Well,
again.
You know why the crone or the wise woman has not been honored? As the patriarchal system, power system, where religion since the beginning have empowered the men and disempowered women, have been about holding men up as role models and guides and women as helpers. Now, I personally know that in ancient times there were equalitarian systems where men and women worked equally well and were honored and respected, and it would be great if we could now, at this time where the patriarchal system is showing great stress and floundering all over the world, because all it creates is a lot of power and war and disease, that we could bring back this gentleness and connection to the earth and to exploring all people's gifts, men and women, and treating others as they should be and should have always been treated throughout time as one and important to everyone else's personal growth, right? You talk about that in the book. You do discuss some of the ways of the path of the warrior goddess and how these new trends are happening now But they're not really new trends. They are trends from the past, and we need to just remember them once again. So tell us, what is the path of the warrior goddess?
Warrior goddess energy is about reclaiming our will and our focus and our clarity, which is the warrior energy. It's that saying 100% yes, I'm going forward, and also being able to say 100% no, that doesn't work for me. And the goddess energy is about opening. It's about love. It's about creativity. I see it that the warrior energy says, I'm going to get where I'm going. I'm putting all my attention and focus there. And the goddess energy says, how shall we get there? How can we make it as fun and creative as possible? How can we make that journey pleasurable? And how can I bring as many people along with me as I can? So the goddess energy is very much about celebrating all of life.
Yeah.
And when we bring both of these energies together, there's an incredible power that we bring back. We reconnect with our wisdom. We reconnect with that ancient knowing that's in our bones. It's in our cells. You don't have to go outside to find it. And so that's the path of the warrior goddess, is learning once again to listen to our intuition, to our depth, to our wisdom, and sharing our gifts in the world, knowing that we are a unique light and a beautiful, precious force.
Absolutely.
Of nature.
Absolutely. Well said. What do you see as the difference between religion and spirituality? There's so much talk about it. And to tell you the truth, I find many people don't really understand the two words at all. So tell us what you think religion is and what you think spirituality is.
Religion is a group of people coming together that have a set of guidelines around how they choose to worship, and usually a place of worship. So it's more codified.
Yes.
Of how to be in relationship to the divine. Whereas spirituality is individual. It's about how we as individuals choose to connect to spirit, and there's a lot of openness, creativity, and honoring in a spiritual path. So I honor all religions, and I also honor all spiritual paths.
Well, I
really believe the individuals get to choose how they want to play with the divine.
I think so. I think they're all paths to understanding energy, who we are as spiritual beings, and looking for an answer to the question, who am I, where did I come from, and where do I go when I die? But spirituality generally views God not as, or source, not as an outside being, but as the creative force that is immanent in all things. And
yes,
some religions
exactly.
See God as a vision, an entity, a solid force, or looking somewhat like we do. So that is another difference between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
I think no matter which way you go, I think we are going to find the same answers in the end. When we put all the pieces together, all the traditions, all the religions, we will come to understand who we are as spiritual beings having a physical life, and that we are an eternal source of creation and part of the energy where creation is always going on. So what would you like readers to take away with them after reading the book?
I would love readers to take away that they are precious, that they don't have to be perfect, and that everything that they need is already inside of them. That place of courage and wisdom and healing is right there if we're open to listening deeply to ourselves. And also the importance of being in community that supports us as well.
That's right.
It's really
yeah.
important for us as women, I believe, to have other women that are supporting us and saying, yes, I see you. I see your light.
And I see more men now also looking for the answers to these questions that we're asking and wanting to feel that deep inner energy also. So we are getting past social mores and belief systems to come to a greater awareness of what we have always known since the minute we've been born, and even before we've been born. Our soul has always had the answers for us. We just get derailed or distracted by the outside environment and too much energy coming in. But when we are quiet and silent and observe and start to feel deep within, we remember who we are. I want to thank you, Heather Ash Amara, author of Warrior Goddess Training, which draws on the wisdom from many traditions to share personal stories and exercises to encourage your personal growth and the most developed feminine energy within. To purchase this book, go to heatherashamara.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have looked at the ancient mindset and practices of many cultures in search of the most divine inner aspects of self for creating a more self-actualized means for personal power and intuitive wisdom for both women and men to develop. These inner spiritual gifts and awakening thought processes are the way into developing a future world that allows us to use our creativity and a more refined sense of love to create better relationships and a world community that honors all people equally. In moving past the restrictions of philosophies or religions or any tradition which causes separation between male and female values, we may discover that universal energy or the divine is not male or female, but just a force for eternal life, love, and inspiration to be all we can be as we move from illusion and false beliefs to our deepest inner sense of being. Heather Ash and I would have you remember to become a conscious participant in choosing what is most beneficial to your growth and to embrace the challenges of your life, loving yourself, your weaknesses and strengths, and trusting that you have the personal power to transform any situation for a healthy outcome. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and invite you to go to my website, CherylGlick.com, to read and familiarize yourself with stories and information that inform your own awakening process and the way forward to your happiest, healthiest life experiences. Also, go to WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you very much.